is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gaza, the ceasefire, the prisoner exchange, the opinion of those watching from the outside. What is phase two? What is phase three? When does the rebuilding start? And what are the remnants of Hamas? How much are they? And when are they going to surrender their arms? None of these questions have good answers, but there's much talk. I welcome Peter Berkowitz to help me with the talk. Peter writes for Real Clear Politics. He's a member of the Hoover Institution, and he travels widely, including having been in Israel right before the attack in 2023 and now reflecting many visits since then as the country deals with an existential threat that remains. Peter, a very good day to you. The ceasefire is in place, except for now and again. It's not a ceasefire. The question of phase two depended upon phase one being completed, which is the return of all the hostages, the living and the deceased. As of 24 hours past, the number remaining in the custody or the possession or the location known to Hamas was 14. There is the opinion, gossip only, that Hamas is slow rolling this, that the complaints that there's rubble and there are people buried and we don't know where everybody is a convenient stalling technique. Why? Because they're rearming, they're reorganizing, and they need money. That is one observation. The other observation is that it provides the IDF time to enforce its so-called yellow line, which now, once again, fog of war, but gossip, the yellow line consisting of yellow bricks laid in the ground is about half the Gaza Strip. Therefore, there's security there, not on the other side where the civilians are. Your measure of the ceasefire and prisoner exchange so far. Good day to you, Peter.
Good day, John. Well, I want to start with this observation. Your reporting of speculations about what Hamas is doing, what the IDF is doing, are more than plausible because they're entirely consistent with what we know about the two sides' interests. Hamas's interest is the destruction of the state of Israel. On October 3rd, when they agreed to negotiate with the Trump administration, they said they were grateful to the President of the United States for trying to bring an end to the war on Gaza. What does that mean? That means that Israel was the aggressor. They said nothing about ceasing their war on Israel, the war that they proclaimed in 1988 in their covenant, in which they have been continuing ever since. So the speculation that they're drawing out the return of the bodies of the deceased hostages would actually aid what is their self-proclaimed interest. What's Israel's self-proclaimed interest? Israel's self-proclaimed interest is defense, protecting itself from the jihadist forces in Gaza that wish to destroy it. So it's, once again, highly plausible that indeed Israel is establishing, as you know, what they are now calling a yellow line, which well inside Gaza, a security zone for Israel to prevent jihadist forces from exiting. So, yes, I think those speculations are sound.
Let's turn to more talk. The Vice President of the United States in Israel for a visit to the government and the people. This headline, standing next to Vance, Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, rejects idea Israel is a U.S. client state. Hogwash is the quote. Final use of an American term, hogwash. All right. What is the concern here? Is this politics? Is this the non-Netanyahu faction looking for an advantage given the success so far? Why is there even a question about this? It seems so fundamentally trite.
It does seem trite, and yet, excuse me, there is an issue here. I have no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu recognizes the United States, led by Donald Trump, President Trump, and Vice President J.D. Vance, as great friends to the state of Israel. Trump has been supplying the weapons that Israel needs ever since he entered the White House in 2025. United States supplied a decisive blow, Operation Midnight Hammer, against Iran in June. The Trump administration won the release of the hostages through its peace plan, and also because of the scene-setting achievements of the Israel Defense Forces in Gaza. On the other hand, what's taking place in Israel right now, led by the United States, is maybe unprecedented, at least in Israel. The administration, that is the Trump administration, that came to power railing against nation building, has taken upon itself the task, it appears, of rebuilding Gaza. That's the language of J.D. Vance. How far has the United States gone? Well, the president visited, the vice president's visiting now, Secretary of State Rubio is due soon. American soldiers are now in Israel. In fact, we have set up an international headquarters for international forces not far from the Gaza Strip in Israel. And J.D. Vance's words suggest, along with Jared Kushner's and Steve Witkoff's, that the United States intends to preside over the implementation of the peace plan. Well, that peace plan is not accurately called a peace plan, or I should say a peace plan only is a part of it. It really is a nation-building plan. So you can see how at least elements of Netanyahu's hard-right coalition, or I should say hard-right elements of Netanyahu's coalition, would become a bit nervous about the extent of the control that the United States is seeking to exert in the implementation of the plan.
The hostages. At the center of this remains the hostages. We were told before the beginning of this process that led to the Sharm el-Sheikh meeting, we were told that the hostages were the door that President Trump always knew he had to get through in order to make everything nation building or rearming or security. In order to make everything happen, he had to get the hostages done. It's not done, Peter. And there is gossip that it won't be done. Now, more, there is talk that what is going on inside the part of the Gaza Strip that remains to the gunmen, what's going on there now, is revenge killing, but not of people who cooperated with the Israelis. Revenge killing between the clans that were ever powerful in Gaza, especially the clan that kidnapped Gilad Shalit in 2006 and led to the release of an enormous number of killers who were just recently reorganized by the IDF, either captured or dead. That clan is pushing back because it lost out to Hamas in the initial fighting of 2007. There are other clans, as we both know, the Arab world responds to clans, is organized by clans, and yes. Clan loyalty is much more compelling in many cases among the young men than religion or jihadism or a vision of the apocalyptic future. Clan fighting, my brother says, that sort of thinking. Now, the fighting going on in Gaza can continue because there are also what are called anti-Hamas militia funded by, I don't know, it's gossip. But the more that the clans push back, the more that Gaza fragments into what we know in a siege situation. You do not get one leader. You get a handful of men with guns behind them, and they continue to fight it out. That looks to be successful in terms of stopping the revival of the war, but at the same time, it doesn't get the hostages back. And Peter, if I read your column correctly, until and if the hostages are returned, there's no moving from where we are today. Is that correct?
I believe the Israeli public on this matter supports Prime Minister Netanyahu that phase one is not complete until all the bodies of the deceased hostages have been returned. Yes, all the living hostages have been returned. A great achievement. But the Israelis consider the remains of their fallen soldiers and the remains of their civilians who were outrageously kidnapped and held in tunnels also a sacred duty. So there's a great deal of popular support, governmental support. Yes, John, for understanding phase one as not complete until all the bodies have returned. And during that period, if I may add, no reasonable person should be surprised by the developments that you just described, partly because all reasonable people should have known how deeply inscribed clans, the clan social structure, how deeply inscribed it is in Gaza.
I'm speaking to Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column for Real Clear Politics about phase one, phase two. Phase one is still underway, and when we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.